This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Do not pass me by. And so we ask, O God, that in your mercy, do not pass us by. We come to draw strength. We come to draw capacity. We come that we might find your grace. Be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Please be seated for 15 minutes. It's a prayer meeting, but I want to give us some perspective. Turn your Bible to the book of John, 1 John chapter 1. In my recent Bible studies, I've been trying to find out the message that the apostles ran with, the message that the pioneers of this apostolic way ran with. And I found quite some interesting things as I studied the Bible. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, stay with me. Are you there? Oh, you're not with me. Stay. Just stay. Now, can you substitute the word for message? The message of life. So one of the emphasis that the apostolic ancestors ran with was the message of the fact, is message of life. The implication of having the life of God to be tabernacled in human vessels, and God giving us the opportunity to operate the dynamics of his life and functioning at that level of his own civilization. That was one of the messages that they ran with. Of the word of what? Of life. Now, if you are in touch with the life of God, and if you are adequately instructed as to take full advantage of the potential that it affords you, then you can be one of those people that will testify and said that you have seen that which is of the beginning. Because the life of God was not created. The life of God cannot be destroyed. And on the account of our salvation, we have access to the life of God. If you turn your Bible to the book of Acts, I believe, you will see the first time in the entire Bible that an angel gave a message to be preached. I think it's in the book of Acts chapter 5 verse 20. All right, let's do Acts chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, that's the message, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You see, the words of what? This life. Now, the good news that is captured in this presentation is that we are now partakers of the divine nature. And it's a whole new scope of possibility that God is making available to us. So part of what the apostles taught was to instruct the people on how to maximize the potential that was incorporated in the life of God, of which they are now recipients. If you see a dog, for instance, and a dog is growing up, the dog without any form of education begins to bark because that level of understanding, that level of education is already factored into the life of the dog. So the dog doesn't need training to bark. It is part of what its life supports. Are you there? Now, it is up to you. You have an opportunity to operate based on human life. It's available to you. It's a platform that you can function from. You also have the opportunity to operate from the plane of the divine life. And part of the emphasis that the apostolic ministry brought was to make us always operate in the capacity of the divine life. If you notice, one of the things that we have been called onto, that means we have the potential to attain, it is God's expectation for us to function that way, is that we are called unto glory and to virtue. The word translated virtue in that scripture is the same word for excellence. You see, so our calling as human beings is unto glory. In fact, the Bible says it is this glory we're called unto, and unfortunately, sin made us short of that glory. For the Bible says what? For all have sinned and what? Falling short of the glory of God. We were designed to function in the realm of glory, just like fish is designed to function in water, just like plants cannot but be hooked on land, anchored on land. We were designed to function in the realm of God's glory. And what makes it possible for us to find glory to be a natural habitat to us is that we have become partakers of the divine nature. And our life will become an evidence that will give God glory. If we function on that level of civilization, the life of God becoming our operating system, we will be manifesting dimensions that are not common to man. They are not associated with humanity. It's a departure from the human expectation. And that life of glory unto which we have been called has its operating system in the potential that we have received from the life of God that became our possession the day we became partakers of the salvation that Jesus had procured for us. So one of the emphases that they drove in their messages was the word of life. Are you there? So that's number one. I don't want to press it in any detail because I'm just trying to bring you somewhere. The word of life. The word of life. So when you hear us tell you that man was designed to be a creature of prayer, you might want to achieve and actualize prayer on the strength of your humanity. You'll find out that it's an impossibility. Your human life cannot support that level of expectation. So when we say that you are a creature of prayer, we are saying that if you maximize the capacity of God that is given to us on the basis of his life, you might find that which you could not operate on the strength of your humanity, you are at home with it as you are empowered by the energy of the life of God to sustain that existence. There is nothing that God is expecting you to do that is expecting you to actualize on the strength of your humanity. People like David understood this. They said, we will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He was looking for a yonder civilization. A civilization that was caught up in something that was heavenly. And now that we are partakers of the life of God, it is actually possible for us to run on the strength of that life and perform things that are only associated with God. Just like God, dogs bark. Are you there? Oh my. Are you there with me? Okay. Okay. So someone came to me and he said he wants to be a prayer warrior. The first thing I said, are you born again? Do you have the life of God? This, your desire, has an operating system. And there are so many possibilities that are bound toward us that are possible and capable by reason of what? The life of God. So one of the messages that they pushed was a message concerning the life of God. So an angel delivered the apostles from prison and gave them a message. Go stand in the temple and speak about all the words of this life. And I assure you, in our generation, we know too little about the life of God and his potential that is available to us. And that is one of the reasons why our life is natural. Are you there? All right, number two. Number two is common, so I will not dwell there. But I just want to show you, okay? Number two is in the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 26. When I have time, we will go deeply into each of the aspects, but I'm going somewhere. It's a men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word, is the word of this salvation sent. So, substitute word for message for word. That's the message of this salvation. You know that, so I don't need to press into it. Hallelujah. There is a good news. There is a message concerning salvation that became very paramount based on the fact that Jesus paid a price. He paid a spiritual price. God was speaking to Adam in the Garden of Eden. And God told him that in the day that you eat of this fruit, in dying, he shall surely die. That was a revelation of the position of God's justice system about that dimension of rebellion. He said, when you rebel in this way, as much as eat this fruit, the sentence that is captured concerning that kind of rebellion in the justice system of heaven is death. So when Jesus showed up, are you there now? So we became condemned entities. How I wish Adam had children before he went to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Each and every one of us would have had the opportunity to make our own choice. But unfortunately, Adam went and chose for us, and he chose death. Unfortunately. So death was hanging on all of us. That death that was the position of God's justice system was hanging on each and every one of us. Until Jesus came and paid the price. When we say Jesus paid the price, what we are saying is that he came as a substitute, and the debt that was due us, he took upon himself that debt. So thereby creating for us the possibility to go beyond that debt and to be saved from that debt and to enter into the kingdom of God. One of the things they pushed was the message of salvation. And I don't want to go so deep because that salvation, as simple as you think it is, no, we don't have time for that. The Bible calls it great salvation. And in the New Testament, there are very few things that God calls great. One of them is salvation. One of them is tribulation. Great tribulation. Great salvation. And I will show us when we come to deal with those matters why salvation is called great. There are some issues that we need to raise. But basically, I just want to present to you the fact that one of the messages that the apostles preached was the message concerning salvation, your salvation. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in this place tonight that is not saved? You have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Anybody in this place? It means that you received and you accepted the message concerning salvation. And that's why your designation at this moment is saved. Now, the thing about the apostolic messages is that if you receive them, there is an expectation, there's an outcome that is supposed to result from your compliance with the message that they are sending across. All right, so they also preached the message of salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, and then he went to explain the word of truth, even the gospel of your salvation. In whom, after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the objective of the gospel of salvation is to bring us to a point where we are sealed as God's product with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of promise. The Spirit that we were promised becomes the seal of our salvation. So the objective of the message of salvation is to bring us to a point where we receive God's seal. You know, there was one advertisement they used to do those days that they say, if it is not Panadol, it is not the same as Panadol. How many of you were born when that advert was? Because you need to be an ancient to even know what I'm talking about. May the Lord give you understanding. I know most of you are not. But they say, if it's not what? Panadol, it is not the same as Panadol. It can look like it. They may claim it has the same function, but the manufacturers of Panadol are just putting you on notice. And they're saying, if it is not what? Panadol, it is not. I'm not a marketer. I'm not a Panadol marketer. But they said, if it's not Panadol, it's not the same as Panadol. So the moment you heard the message, the word of truth, which is the gospel, the good news about your salvation, and you believed, what God did was that the moment you became his property, he sealed you with the seal of his Spirit. So the proof that you are saved is that you have been sealed by the Holy Ghost. So if you do not have the Holy Ghost tabernacling in your spirit man, you are not saved. Because the proof that you are a recipient of the gospel of salvation is that you pass into the organic dimension whereby you became sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So they preached the message of salvation. Number three, the apostles in their apostolic endeavor, according to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse number 10, according to Romans chapter 8, verse number 10. Oh my God. Just give me a moment. I want to read some scriptures to us in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Okay, are you there with me? Romans chapter 10, from verse 5 to verse 9. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. He's saying, huh? Are you there? That is, then he now mentioned the word of faith, which we preach, the message of faith, which we preach. Are you there? So the third message that they preached was a message of faith. And the reason why the message of faith is critical is because our God is not visible to the human eyes. And the Bible reveals that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It means you cannot do business with God outside of faith. God has an obsession. God wants to be believed. And when he spoke about the message of faith, he said, you don't need to go down into the deep in an attempt to raise Jesus again from the dead. You don't need to go into heaven to download Jesus from the heavens. You can actually achieve and articulate all of these things by the word of faith. So there are impossible things that you can accomplish by reason of the word of faith. So the message of faith was also a critical aspect of the deliverables that was attributed to the ministry of the apostles. For the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which we preach. Do you know that if there is faith in your heart, your mouth can be a weapon? In fact, in the message of faith, you will be taught how to talk. Because you notice that God doesn't rule by brute strength. He doesn't need to come to your house and slap you. No. If God wants to do something, he speaks. Because God's capacity, God's authority is vested on his spoken word. And God wants you to begin to operate the same way he operates. So you couldn't even enter into the economy of salvation that was available by grace until you exercise the word of faith that is in your heart and what? In your mouth. Word of faith. So when you see people that have learned how to operate like God, you will see that they talk like God. Yeah, we are partakers of the divine nature. You must be schooled to talk like God. For instance, are you there with me now? The Bible reveals that God has exalted his word above his name. And that means that there's more authority in the words of God than in the person that God is. So God doesn't use words the way you do. Because, are you there? If God should speak, what he utters becomes law. If God should speak, what he utters becomes such that he himself becomes subject to, because he has exalted his word above all his name. That's how much authority the word of God has in the kingdom of God. So when you find a believer that argues with the word of God, the first thing we need to ask is he saved? That's the first thing we need to ask. Or you find a preacher that argues with the word of God, the first thing we need to ask is this preacher born again? Because God himself, when God speaks, he himself becomes subject to the things that he says. His words become law. And because of this critical reality, the apostles had to preach the message of faith. Are you there? How many of you still remember, you know, God spoke to you, you did not take his word seriously, and you now went again to pray after some time, and he told you the same thing he told you before. He didn't change. What he's trying to make you understand by that disclosure is that you have not yet taken his word seriously. Imagine. I was going to be a manager. I was going to be a management staff. And what it means to be a management staff in the oil industry is that you are no longer in the union. If you are not management, then you are union. If you are a union member, then you are not in the management. We need to hide in the union to fight. And they have a strange way of refusing to pay our allowances. So we team up together and say, hey, Yimba, hey, Yimba. When they hear that, they'll pay. So we were in the union. But when you pass from being a normal staff and you enter into the management, in fact, they will take you on orientation first to teach you how to think like management. You were in the struggle all these years. So they need to educate you and colonize you afresh. To become a new man that sees from a different perspective. Are you there? All right. So I was on my way to becoming a management staff. And then God now speaks to me and says, resign. Now, if you are someone that does not place any value on the spoken word of God, the fact that you heard something cannot be the reason for which you disengage from that process that everyone is looking to attain. Do you know what? The entire universe and inclusive of your life is governed by the word of God. But you see, in a situation where the body of Christ is not educated on the subject of faith, on the workings of God on your heart that should translate to your mouth so that when you speak it, it becomes real in the realm of the spirit. And if you refuse to doubt, it will come to pass. That's how God operates. Most of you are marginalized. Most of you are limited. The way you are now, because you don't believe God. And I don't blame you. Your believing in God is to the extent to which you know God. Because faith, as you discover eventually, is that it's a risk. It's a great risk. And the reason why it is not a risk is the fidelity of God. Is that God is trustworthy. God can be dependable. God, you can dive on God and know that you will not hit the ground. So there are people taking risks. A pastor friend came and he told me that, I refused to do this because I wanted to do this project. So I stopped this one. In his eyes, he thought it was wisdom. I said, this is a sign of lack of faith. Is it God that told you to stop this? Or you stopped it because you were seeing that the finances will not be in good shape. Many of us do those calculations. It means you have not known God enough to take a risk because you heard his voice. Many of you have even heard the voice of God, but it didn't sound so authoritative. And the reason why it doesn't sound authoritative because you don't know God. Some of us get ahead through adverse circumstances. Adverse situations. Adverse, very, very adverse. Situations that have been programmed by devils, by demons, to ensure that we are cut off. In the same situation, because we have confidence in God that spoke previously, before the storms came. Oh my God. We can't see anything else other than what God has said. When you begin to trust God that way, it's a proof that you know the God that you are serving. And when God sees people that honor his word like that, he will never allow them to be put to shame. And listen to me. Don't presume. Don't claim you heard. No. Hear. And if you hear, die with it. Because God will raise you up from the dead. So the apostles had to preach the message of faith. Because if you are going to explore and function on the level into which you have been invited, by reason of the fact that we are recipients of the divine life, you will need to operate by faith. Your mind is weak. Hallelujah. Your mind is limited. You know, I've heard so many people say, do you realize that the best student in your class, maybe in the university, is not the greatest now? Your mind is deceiving. Build yourself. Build capacity in the spirit for you to be able to trust God, because your life depends on the spoken word of God. It's a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how man lives. The same way you need to survive in the natural by eating nutrients drawn from physical food, the way you survive spiritually, the way you survive in destiny, the way you survive in life is that you receive the words that come out of the mouth of God. So one of the things that the apostles preached and majored on was the message concerning faith. And he summarized it in that scripture, that message is in thy mouth and in thy heart. So the message concerning faith reveals a heart-mouth partnership that is designed to make you stand where God is standing. Because first and foremost, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
You see, for instance, there is a man cannot have children without a woman. Do you believe that? Let me come again. I say a man cannot have children without a woman. And you believe it? You are not sure of it. How did you come? Because you are not sure. The same way that a man cannot have children without a woman, God cannot operate without, cannot accomplish his purpose without a man. That man plays a role that a woman plays in childbearing. You see, the woman doesn't have seed. She's an incubator. She is designed to be able to keep things. So there's a deposit of life. And she's wired to be able to keep that deposit of life and incubate it until it becomes a full-grown entity. That's what God does with you. So the thing about the message of faith is that God comes and impregnates your spirit. And he does that by his spoken word. His spoken word, when you hear a spoken word and you don't know God, you may not even know the potential of his spoken word. And so you will falter in your responsibility of tending that spoken word in your heart. Like I told you, that if the message of faith is on the strength of a certain compatibility that exists between your mouth and your heart, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 8. So you begin to pray, and then God now visits you and speaks a word into your heart. The moment God speaks a word into your heart, the devil, just like God operates from your heart, the devil operates from your mind. And the devil will give you 1,000 reasons why that which God has said can never come to pass. Some of the reasons can even have hard evidences and hard facts, like doctor's report. It can have hard evidences like family history. It can have hard evidences like diagnoses, family patterns. And then you see the symptoms of those things that are rooted in your family beginning to find expression in your life. And the devil presents that as evidence, and he uses it in his mind-bending program. The point is this: whose report will you believe? It is what you believe that comes to pass in your life. If you believe what the devil is telling you, then you make God a liar, then you make the devil true. If you believe what God is telling you in your heart, then you make God true, then you make the devil a liar. So you will incubate something. You must incubate something. Whether you incubate the word of God or you incubate the lies of the devil. And what you incubate in your heart is going to be what you will give birth to. Just like XY chromosomes, XX chromosomes. A man gave birth to a girl. Gave birth to a girl, the second. Gave birth to a girl, the third. Gave birth to a girl, the fourth one. He just asked the wife, leave my house. Just pack and go. So the woman went back to the doctor. And the doctor had to come lecture the husband that this woman doesn't have the ability to decide whether she will give birth to male or female. She's an incubator. What she produces is what you release. You release girl, she packaged girl, she delivered girl. You release girl again, black girl, she packaged it and delivered it. You release girl that's brown, then you release fair one, Oyibo, she delivered. Yes, sir. She's just helping you keep what you released, and then when it's mature, she gives you back. She didn't influence it. May the Lord give you understanding. So after the education, he now discovered that he's responsible for what he's seeing there. The same way, when you begin to believe the devil, you will give birth to what the devil is telling you. You know, the woman cannot decide what she gives birth to. She only gives birth to what is released into her. That you can decide what you give birth to. That is the difference between you and a woman. You, when you begin to pay attention to what God has told you and you believe it, as long as you believe it, that embryo of what God told you will begin to develop inside of your life. And the proof that you believe it is that even without thinking, you'll be speaking about it. It's just like a woman that's pregnant. You cannot deceive her to say she's not pregnant. No. She has never been pregnant before, but she knows that something is happening in her life. Something is happening inside that is not normal. So she talks about it. From morning to night, she'll tell you how the thing is doing her, that she's stretching. I think, what's going on here? She will speak about what is going on inside. She has not seen it. But don't come and tell her it's not real. She will fight you. In fact, that thing is so real that she'll wake up early in the morning, 5 a.m., and wake you up and say, what she needs to eat now, and it's okra. And there's no okra. There's no okra around. You see, okra must move now. Sometimes a bitter cola. 6:35 a.m. bitter cola. That we, and then you go and go to the market. You be in railway market before everybody comes. And then you buy a bag of bitter cola, thinking that it's bitter cola. They will ask for the next day. Then they will say it's ice cream. If it is true that you believe, if it is true that your heart caught something, unconsciously or consciously, you will be speaking about it. You can't forget it. And I'm not saying you are doing make-believe. You are saying it so that you can get yourself to be. No. It's not mechanical. If the thing entered the heart, you will find yourself speaking about it. Just like if the thing entered your womb, everybody will know. You will afflict everybody around with what is in your womb. They can't see it, but the way you are dealt with them, they know that something is there. There is a heart-mouth relationship. And if the devil has convinced you and you believe what the devil has said, you will be saying what the devil has said consistently, even without asking. You just come, you want to buy something from the shop. The things the devil has convinced you about, you just be telling them, I will die soon. I have seen it. You will believe it. That's why you are saying. Nobody asks you how long you will live. You just enter there and say, I know. This bad luck, it was on my father's life. So you have believed the devil. And so the apostles preached the word of faith. Because if you are going to deal with God, you are going to deal with him on the basis of faith. You are a dwarf to the extent to which you cannot believe. You are a giant to the degree to which you can believe. You have heard my story. God came to me in the place of prayer. And he said, if you say you are a giant, he didn't even tell me that you are a giant. He said, that means he's been hearing me say, I'm a giant. I'm a giant. So he now came, based on what I've been saying, he said, if you say you are a giant, then take giant steps. That's God coming to me to teach me the way of faith. If you say you are a giant, do what? Take giant steps. When I began to speak about this place, people thought I needed a psychiatric doctor. I said, we are going to, there's a place. If you, nothing is in the account, nothing is there. So I was not speaking because of muscles I gathered by checking the account balance. I know some of you that fall sick when the account balance begins to drop, when it drops beyond 50 naira. 50,000, there's sickness. It's proof that you don't have a God. No anchor in your life. No anchor. He said, if you say you are a giant, then take giant steps. The first training I had was my wife's school. I had bought land when land was cheap. 250. Eh? How much was that land? 200,000. 200,000 naira. There's one that I bought for 150,000. Hallelujah. So I bought it. It's there. So, and the reason why we bought it is because I promised my wife that we'll have a school there. But I knew the ability to build a school was there. Because I calculate, I did statistics. I can interpret your data and tell you how poor you are. Even Benue State, I can tell you how. And plot a graph and show us that we are on the edge. We are on the edge of death. Some of these courses we did is of Satan. It will make it very difficult. Some schools we went to make it very difficult for you to believe God. So I was a slave of statistics, of numbers, of figures. Until God came to my rescue and said, if you say you are a giant, then take giant steps. So I went and broke my account. And that's when I discovered I saved 9 million. It's big money. You don't understand it. It's big money. So I brought it and gave the engineer. You know, when you are releasing money and your hand is shaking like that. Oh, Jesus Christ. Came there, they were doing something, carrying cement, doing something. And then they came and said, the money has finished. The building didn't come out of the ground. The building was still inside of the ground. I said, I wanted to sack all of them. They said, no, we have not defrauded you. We are building two stories. So we have to go down. Go down? Yes, that's how they go up. You go down first. So I now knew that I needed something stronger than my bank account. So I went back to God. I said, you know, I was on my own. I was doing well. You were the one that said that I should start building my wife's school. You implicated me. See where I am. That was where I learned faith. He said, this is your money that is you'll be hiding. Get all of it. Go and give that pastor. How does that translate to my building that is in the ground? I went and gave the pastor like a fool because my brain was calculating how much is going. And may you go beyond your brain in the name of Jesus. I obeyed and came back. Then started waiting on God. I didn't know what else to do, just to wait on God. And then before it was 12 midnight, I had an alert. Okay. I mobilized my workers. He said, this 1 million that is left, send it to that pastor. I said, okay. I sent it. This time I didn't ask again because I saw the first one work. I sent it. I waited again. You know, the other time I waited 24 hours. So I was thinking 24 hours, something will happen. 24 hours, the bank, they removed a charge that I don't know. It's... A strange charge was removed, was deducted. That one took 2 weeks. An alert came. I mobilized. And the time the alert comes is when they exhaust the previous money and they need to be replenished. The amount they need, I will have it. What is left, you say, send it to that pastor. It's okay, so this is how it works. I became confident. I went to the site. I told my engineer, we are finishing this project. And not because money came, I now understood the ways of God. It's the same thing we did here. And the same thing we have been doing. God took me on a lecture of faith. I didn't pay money for that course. Just to teach me the message concerning faith. Now, I passed the first class. This is the second class. Passed it. This foundation, 55 million. No, nothing. Our account balance in the ministry then, we accumulated 5 million in how many years? It was, I think,
in 6 years, we're building the team. The team will go down. We'll build again. So after 6 years, we now had a balance of 5 million. Say, amen, 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 amen. The foundation was 55 million. How do we start? The same way. You do like this, you give here. And he will tell you where to give. Do like this. The thing started working. I want to tell you, if you say you are a giant, then take giant steps. So one of the things they preached also was the message of faith. Finally, for this evening, Acts chapter 14, verse 1 and 3. That's where I'm going, for which I took you all the way. Acts chapter 14, verse 1-3. Acts chapter 14, verse 1-3. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that the great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Verse 3 is my emphasis. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted that signs and wonders be done by their hands. That's the message of his grace. So there was another emphasis that the apostles carried, which was the message of his grace. And that's what this IEC is about. The message of his grace. Long time abode there. The guys came and began to preach, and so many people believed. And when the Jews discovered that people were believing and turning to Christianity, they went and began to cast aspersions. The Bible says that they made the minds of the people evil affected. So the gains that the kingdom had gained on the account of their initial preaching was lost. I was expecting that because of that seeming manifestation of defeat, that the apostles would depart from that place and go to another place. They didn't move. The Bible says, long time abode they, therefore, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, unto the message of his grace. And the testimony he gave to the message of his grace was that he granted that signs and wonders will be done by their hands, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted that signs and wonders might be done by their hands. Oh my. Meanwhile, they spoke long time. They spoke boldly in the Lord long time. And the Bible never told us how long they spoke before they began to see the manifestation. Long time abode there, speaking boldly in the Lord. And he gave testimony unto the word of his grace by granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. So one of the messages they preached is the word of his grace, the message of his grace. And anytime the message of his grace is spoken boldly, oh my God, the Lord confirms it by granting that signs and wonders might be done by their hands. Long time. How many of you still remember? How many of you were with us in the old place? We spoke boldly. So much so that a certain man of God came, and we were just 250, but I spoke boldly in the Lord. Say, this boy, he's proud. It's a proud boy. I was talking about the things that God has spoken to me, you know. And you know what? After a while, we now put those messages on our website. People were coming to download. People were coming to download. Then I now saw why God made me speak boldly. Because I was not speaking just to the congregation, 250 people that were before me. I was speaking to the world. Yes. And the message got there. For 8 years, they kept downloading. They never contacted us. Kept downloading. We saw when Google Analytics calculates how many people download, I say, are these figures correct? They say, no, it doesn't lie. Just like Google, Facebook keeps your picture. That's your picture you sent. Your post you made, it keeps them. So somebody comes today saying something different from what he said before. People that know how to dredge on Facebook can go and pick the old one and then show you that you are a contradiction. Are you there? I was speaking boldly in the Lord. And I spoke for 8 years. Are you there? We put the messages up on the website 8 years, for 8 solid years. We had downloads of 1,500,000, 1,800,000, 2 million on the average per year. But we did not see any feedback. But we kept speaking boldly in the Lord. In the 8 years, the people that were downloading the messages started reaching out to us. That you know your pastor does. I said, I'm not aware of that. But the Lord did a wonderful thing. I don't want to go into that. But the Bible says, long time abode there, speaking boldly in the Lord. I don't know what circumstance you have met with that has taken away your boldness. You are just existing. No, they spoke boldly. The territory did not accept them. The people that believed, there were other people that seemed to have influence over the people that believed, and they swayed them. I was expecting them to move to the next city where they are likely to have more chances. They didn't go. They abode long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted that signs and wonders be done by their hands. So we have come to preach the message of his grace. Acts chapter 20, verse 32, as I round up. Acts 20, verse 32. Acts 20, verse 32. Turn your Bible with me. Acts chapter 20. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The word of his grace is able to build you up. The word of his grace is able to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, I commend you to God. I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Oh my God. So it means that when you sit under the word of his grace, you will be built up. You will know that you are changing. You will know that you are not the person you used to be, because you are being built up. You are being built up. And as you are being built up, you begin to access your inheritance. The word of his grace builds you up and also positions you strategically to take full delivery of the inheritance that is among them that are sanctified. And one thing that I'm sure of, during the course of this conference, you will enter into your inheritance in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not just be built up. You'll be built up. And God will open the vista, the window of his mercy, so that you can lay hold on the inheritance that is available to them that are sanctified. Glory to God. Can you rise up? Want to pray? Long time abode there. Speaking boldly.
Woo!
In the Lord. Bernard, you speak boldly in the Lord. Even when there are no symptoms, nothing suggests that what you are carrying in your spirit, man, will see the light of day. Speak bold. At least you don't pay tax. But speaking boldly. They spoke boldly in the Lord. And he gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted that signs and wonders be done by their hands. The signs and wonders will be done by your own hands. Yes, whenever you receive the word of his grace, he has the capacity to produce wonders. It has the capacity to produce signs. Woo! Kabomesi kobrebi santoria. So we come to the day of signs and wonders because God is speaking the word of his grace. He wants to build us and to give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Oh my God. Oh my God. You have an inheritance. Your father left an inheritance for you. You have an inheritance in God. Oh my God. There is a place furnished for you. There are spiritual resources that have been kept aside to fund your destiny, to fund your purpose, to fund your program. You are not an accident. There is an inheritance left for you. Oh my God. And in the days that are to come, God will take us into the fullness of that which he has kept in store. They speak boldly in the Lord, and he gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted that signs and kibosalabonda niakombe si kobra bahate kusebilaite isopenia kambela hose. Ibra Bobo Sakaya, Ikomedi Banseli, you have an inheritance. God is setting us up to bring us into the fullness of that which he has designed for us. For I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Oh my God. And on Christ the solid rock I stand, all on the ground is sinking sand. All on the ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. You have an inheritance. The ground upon which you stand is sure ground. And there is a definiteness about your outcome. We serve him that is not a man that he should lie. We serve him that is not the son of man that he should repent. We want to pray tonight. Lord, during the course of this conference, bring us into the inheritance of them that are sanctified. There is an inheritance you have kept for us. Oh my God, let everyone step into it. Open the treasure house of your possibilities. Open the treasure house of your goodness. Open the treasure house of that which you have kept in store. Oh, let everyone be furnished with what it takes to walk into his inheritance in the name of Jesus. Kilevon sakaboria habeli. Jemino kopreskabis. Jamantoske hikababoria kabarata. Mesia Konde, Mesia Sakakora Batale, Aikonse Kabule Masike, Aguria Bahosatwa, Abraskendo Bokoria Bamasike. Ika Masanta Baboria. Escobina Iteke Bosila. Rakatali. Geminae consala baboria cateli mahanseli. Yeso so combre, cabela curia babasico balite. Asai combra basuketa minacadia. Endoske se so kilo bronda baboria. Aminta alecus cadua ambresco filama. Precasico prela ambeta combali. Mai comprasque toco besama curia. Precasanda babora cadi. Shaminote. Shamina kaita kombelami. Elakata kombreski. Rato bokosima antalia. Apamba santa babola kadia. Iskompela. Agai so meli. Agai so salekola. Ibraska tande. Abamena kuria basanto. O yateta bola. Abraska talimanzeli. Abraska babonde kena musa. Igabai kampola. Abrama talababade. Abranda kusa banda baboria. Abakayando si cabresco bila canteli. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. So people have started coming. The roads are already been engaged. The airways have been engaged. Can we pray, ask for journey mercies? That there'll be no mishap. Oh my God. We'll receive our brothers. We'll receive our sisters. We receive them from the corners of the world. Those coming to tap into the fire, the flame that you have kindled in this place. There'll be no mishap. Their journeys will be smooth. Their journeys will be smooth. Their journeys will be smooth. We receive them in the name of Jesus. We receive them in the name of Jesus. We receive them in the name of Jesus. We receive them, oh God. Yes, we defeat. We defeat every machination of the kingdom of darkness that has been poised to resist their journeys in the name of Jesus. We resist it in Jesus' mighty name. Lift your voice, lift your voice. Everyone will call Jesus. Hey! Sakabondo, Rasketa Bula Ampaya, Shama Mama Sakoria. Ramakuske tabila kantebonde braaske rakabonda shabinaita rakatala babonde shabino kopre rakabababa satoa abresko pilatoa ete. We open the door for your journey. We open the door for your trip. Yes, we receive you in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Osela Paramanseti. Abranta babola kadia, abresominante, abranta basiko brabinaita, akambo sabu akabes, preska beso sali, abarakata, esusi akambresko pilatua, amboroke sabina abelaite, makura bosabi, alando no bosokea, brama kanteli, yaka kanteli, yaka sobria la babon, yala la 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 ya. Can you lift your voice and pray for every minister of the gospel, every minister in song, that the Lord will pass through their vocal cords and release His glory and release His presence and release His power. Sabros, Sabros, I come home, Mama Sik, Resiko Bama Kate, Akal Kabosa Makala, Akapa Bolseke Kamenaila. Abranda basopre gede, agabalata broska bilaita, ekabando, ekabasaya, ekabresko pregadi, agambo satoria, agabalata presko bilata, rakabanda babola kabela mi, asai kompala bande,
Speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted that signs and wonders be done by thy hands. We want to ask that God will grant that signs and wonders will be done by the hands of his ministers. That those that are in despair will come and be lifted, and the heavy burden on their life will be rolled away. That those that are afflicted and they have labored under reproach and curses that have been monitored by bitter demons will find liberty. Grant that signs and wonders might be done by their hands, that signs and wonders might be done by their hands. Oh, Sime Mokoseke Branda Baboria Bahalai. Lord, the time you spoke about has come. Stretch your hands. Do signs. Do the impossible. Stretch your hands. Do the unthinkable. Come among us in thy glory and in thy power. Oh, let men be delivered like never before. Let the yokes of the devil break like never before. Grant that signs, that wonders might be done by their hand. Sebrialo seco branda baboria. Eco sese bondeli. Enso bria cante buse cataburia bahabasi. Manco sesela. Manco babeli nasico. And so bresco teli e kaito bena is a bresco pocolo bandeli asani. Oh yes, Lord, that signs might be done by their hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We already began to pick great things in the spirit. Yeah, we have started seeing the commitment of God already. Something mighty is about to take place. I wait prayerfully in anticipation for that which the Lord will do. Oh, there is a drink that is drink indeed. Such drink that came out of the rock. Oh my God. May you drink of it. It will be available. Amen. He said, let him that thirsts come. There is a drink. There is an allocation. Oh my God. And the lives of men will turn around. I come to drink. I come to partake. I come to be strengthened so that I will be qualified to lay hold on my inheritance. I've been in the peripheries. I've been in the boundaries. But right now I want to enter into the mainstream.
the mainstream of your orchestrations. I journey that I might take hold. I journey that I might drink that drink that is drinking thee.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.